Earlier this year, when the EEOC complaint that you are part of was filed against the University of Rochester for the way the university handled allegations of sexual harassment by Professor Florian Jaeger, since that time, there has been just this avalanche of accusations around the country, from politics to Hollywood to ordinary workplaces. Do you think that had the timing of this been different and had all of these people come forward earlier, that the University of Rochester would have changed in any way the way it responded to those complaints initially?
I think it's possible that their response would have been different. But, you know, we tried for over a year to have our complaint heard by the University of Rochester internally. You know, we talked to various administrators. We counted 30 different substantive interactions that we had with administrators to try to get our complaint heard and to get justice for victims and to cause the university to act in a way that would protect future students. And they refused to act. So, you know, we did everything that we possibly could to have our complaint heard internally, and that didn't work. You know, once the complaint was public, everything changed. You know, people read the complaint. It's a very detailed complaint, and they saw what we saw. They saw abuses of power and sexual harassment, and they responded really strongly. So there was a petition that 40,000 people signed. Alumni of the university wrote an open letter. Faculty at the university wrote an open letter. There were student protests on campus, and yeah, there was this massive public outrage that kind of overwhelmed the university. But even at that point, when it became public and the university was able to see the response and hear the public outcry, you know, they weren't sparked to change. It didn't cause them to change course. You know, they initiated a new investigation, and since that time, you know, have been largely silent. So, you know, the university has had many months to respond to the public outcry, but we haven't yet seen a significant response.
Why do you think so many women, and it's not just women, but people who say they have been victims of sexual assault, sexual harassment, are willing to speak up now?
I think people are starting to see this as a civil rights issue rather than some kind of personnel dispute. So I think in the past, people thought that, you know, sexual harassment or sexual assault was some kind of interpersonal dispute between two people in the workplace. But, you know, these aren't behaviors that are fairly exchanged. These aren't social interactions that are fairly exchanged between two people. These are behaviors that subjugate women and make women less free. In our case, the sexual harassment in our environment disrupted the educational paths of many student women and caused those women to try to navigate around the harasser and take a completely different educational course. And I think what people are realizing now is that, you know, we can't afford to be bystanders. We can't leave victims of sexual harassment to fend for themselves. If a woman is abused or oppressed, she's not in a position to fight. And so I think what we're seeing now is the voices of many women joining together and standing with victims of sexual harassment and sexual assault, rather than being bystanders and considering this an issue that should be handled in private.
Is this Me Too movement powerful enough to change attitudes and behaviors, both on the part of individuals who might perpetrate sexual harassment and assault, and institutions and the way they respond to it?
Yeah, I think this movement represents a real change in awareness. I think one thing that we are hearing a lot is that people didn't understand how pervasive the problem of sexual harassment and assault is for women. And I think the other thing that's coming into sharp focus is the fact that this is a systemic issue. So it's not just that sexual harassment and assault are very common. It's that powerful people silence the complaints and they keep secrecy around the abuse and have kept this issue away from people. And so now what we're seeing is that people are able to access the information. People are able to hear women's experiences. They're no longer silenced. And that's changed people's awareness of the magnitude of this problem. And I think it will change their actions as well.
If serious change is going to come to protect victims of sexual assault and sexual violence and harassment, what will that change look like?
Well, I think we're at just the first step here. So I think what we're seeing now is that, you know, women have been secretly abused by powerful men. You know, as long as that stays secret, all women have to be cautious. And so all women are less free. But now that this problem has been exposed, I think there'll be more vigilance, you know, to detect it in people's workplaces. And I think people will be more willing to listen and believe women when they come forward with complaints. And I think that is real change. You know, I think what happens after that in terms of how university administrators handle those complaints needs a lot of work. And, you know, I think the next step will be tackling what are the proper procedures to take in cases of sexual harassment and assault to make sure that victims get relief and are protected from retaliation and that future students are protected from being victimized.